Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzymes First Quarter 2022 Earnings Conference Call. My name is Ronak Saraf, and I'm the Manager Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. I hope you all are doing well. Joining me on the call today are Mr. Vasant Rathi, Chairman, Advanced Enzymes, Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO. We have prepared a detailed presentation to supplement our comments during this conference call. This presentation is posted in the Investor Relations section of Advanced Enzymes website and on Stock Exchange website as well. Before we proceed, I would request you all to please read the forward-looking statement disclaimer contained in the presentation. During our call, we will make forward-looking statements regarding our expectation or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and the factors that involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. With this, I will now hand the call over to Mr. Kabra. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all again, along with the whole ATL family, to this conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2021. First and foremost, we hope that you and your respective families are in good health and high spirits. COVID is still not gone, so I would request you all to take the necessary precautions. We at Advanced Enzymes are regularly being updated with the current COVID-19 scenario and safeguarding our employees and customers. Health and interest is always being our topmost priority. In the first segment of this call, we will be taking you through the earnings update and the business highlights, and then we will open up the floor for the question and answers. Quarter one of financial year 2022 began with the second wave of COVID hitting its peak. Even during these challenging circumstances, we are proud to announce that Advanced Enzymes has demonstrated tremendous resilience. We are again positive on all the parameters, driven by consistent performance by all business segments. Our revenue grew by 24% on year-on-year basis to ₹1,370 million. Our EBITDA grew by 21% to ₹628 million during the quarter. Our PAT grew by 15% to ₹628 million. EBITDA margin stood at 46%, while PAT margin stood at 29% during the quarter. Now I will take you through the segmental revenues. The human nutrition contributed 65%, animal nutrition contributed 10%, industrial bioprocessing contributed 15%, and specialized manufacturing contributed 10% in the total revenue during this quarter. The human nutrition segment grew by 3% to ₹892 million in quarter one financial year 22 as compared to ₹886 million in quarter one financial year 2021. The animal nutrition has shown a significant improvement and delivered a growth of 32% to ₹140 million in quarter one financial year 22 as against ₹106 million in quarter one financial year 21. The bioprocessing segment outperformed by 56% during this quarter. It accounted to ₹204 million in quarter one financial year 22 as compared to ₹131 million in quarter one financial year 21. This quarter, we have a newly added revenue stream, specialized manufacturing, which contributed ₹134 million to our revenue. On the geographical revenue front, our domestic sales accounted for 42%, while the international sales accounted for 58% of the total revenue. During this quarter, domestic sales grew by 11% to ₹579 million during this quarter on year-on basis, while the international sales grew by 35% to ₹791 million during this quarter. We are retaining our guidance provided during the last con call until we see any major events happening. I hope you all have gone through our presentation for the focus area. We try to make it comprehensive for more clarity. Also, we are very close to our launch of B2C nutraceutical platform, which will be communicated to you soon. Now, let me hand over this to Mr. Rauka, our CFO, who will walk you through the quarterly financial review. Over to you, Rauka, sir.
Thank you very much, Mukund. And good evening, everyone. I would like to brief you about, you know, I think Mukund already spoke about year-on-year, growth and the numbers. I'll just give you on quarter-on-quarter numbers and the growth. Our revenue is increased by 38 million from 1332 million to 1,370 million. And EBITDA is up from 549 million to 628 million and a growth of 14%. Our profit before tax is up by 15% from 478 million to 550 million. That is increased 18%. It is just to about, 400 million. It's 399 million. So registered a growth of 18% in profit after tax. Our finance cost during the quarter remained at 5 million. And depreciation and amortization cost is slightly higher by about 16 million. This is because of inclusion of, Sitec specialties and some amount of, write-off on because of, this acquisition. We need to do that purchase price allocations. So whatever intangible assets are there, those has also been taken into account, and the depreciation is increased because of that. Numbers which generally we share about our Evoxx, our top line is 62 million, but this quarter we had a negative EBITDA in Evoxx, about 10 million. As compared to the previous year where, we were not positive, but there was no negative also in EBITDA as far as, Q4 is concerned. Biotech, JC Biotech sale is at 123 million and EBITDA of 31 million. And we had a PAT of 14 million as compared to 84 million, 16 million, 3 million respectively. Our largest, anti-inflammatory enzyme sales stood at about 245 million, about 18% of our total sales, as compared to 217 million in Q1 of last year, about 20%. So we have seen a 13% growth in that particular anti-inflammatory enzymes. And the Q4, our sale was about 281 million, roughly 21% of our total sales. Top customers, top 10 customers generally contributed about 34% of our total revenue as compared to 43% in Q1 of FY21 and 32% in Q4 of FY21%. So these are like some of the numbers, and I would request request, and we open the floor for question and answer session. So thank you very much, and whatever questions you have, please go for raising your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question is that we saw some good recovery in animal healthcare and food business after pandemic and bird flu impacts, what we've seen in last few quarters. So is there any pent-up demand contribution or it's the new normal growth run rate we could be seeing going forward?
So, Rohit, we see that it's like in the food areas, it's the run rate which is going forward will be the same. In the animal feed area, the demand is a little bit more driven because of the inflation in the prices of soya flour and other commodities. So some of the product sale is increased. We hope that this trend will continue. And at least for second and third quarter, and probably this sale will be maintained as we move on.
Okay. Okay. If we remove SSPL revenue in this quarter, our sales growth was almost 12% on Y-on-Y basis. So that is where, again, I mean, this is where 12% kind of growth is what I think we were also guiding previously. So are we confident on that kind of run rate in the remaining quarter? Or it's, again, something?
So the pandemic has affected somewhat of, our human business to some extent because of the pandemic. But yes, the 12% growth rate, whatever we are talking about, is maintainable.
Okay. Okay. In SSPL sales number, which is almost double from Q4 FY 21, from 79 million to 34 million. So is there any seasonality nature in the business, or this is because of the integration with this Advanced Enzyme growth?
It's a combination of both. In the first quarter, in the last quarter, the SSPL sale was for the 79 days. In this quarter, the sale is for the whole quarter. So some number has increased. And we are trying to integrate, right? So the numbers are going up.
Okay. And if you could help us have the FSPL Q1 FY21 number, and just in case on YMY number, if you want to compare.
So, right, what do you want exactly? You want the top line of
top line of FSPL in Q1?
Yeah. So I think Mukundji has already spoke. It's about 134 million of top line as compared to 84 million, for 79 or 80 days and last quarter. Okay.
And if we can compare it with Q1 FY21, if at all you can provide the number.
No, that is not available. So,
okay.
Whatever relevant is for us, it was Q4 and then Q1 of this year.
Okay.
I can provide you a number separately if that is required.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And lastly, on the gross margin side, the gross margin improved on Y-on-Y as well as Q-on-Q basis, even after SSPL inclusion. So if you could help us, how SSPL contributing to the gross margin level, or what kind of benefit Advanced Enzyme has got in this quarter?
So, I'll give it, a little bit number side. SSPL contribution is in the sense on overall and absolute numbers, because 134 million their revenue has given some gross contribution of 80 million. I'm talking about gross contribution. This is, only raw material cost side. But other than that, whatever improvement as such you are saying about, you know, gross margin in terms of percentage is mainly because of change in our sales mix. Okay.
Okay.
So that is like, you know, different products in a different segment in that sense. So if you know, one product has gone up in this quarter as compared to the previous quarter, so that is mainly because of that reason.
Okay. Okay. Lastly, if I can speak one more, could you help us through the future product pipeline and any new product launches in the different segments in the near future?
Yeah, Mukund will take this question.
So, Rohit, we already talked about our focus areas, right? So, the focus area, the products which will come in the biocatalyst areas, in the food areas, in the probiotic areas. And these are all the our focus areas, right? So new enzymes, new things, whatever we are developing are coming into these areas.
Okay. Well, that's it for my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I just have a couple of questions. Could you tell us the R&D spend for this quarter?
Yeah, it's about, just a moment, I'll give you the exact number of R&D spend. It's about 38 million.
38 million. And the same quarter last year?
I'll come back to you with that number.
All right. If you could give us how much we did from probiotics and biocatalysts separately this quarter.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, just a moment. I'll give you numbers. So you want the separate number for probiotics? Right.
Right.
Yeah, so probiotic sale as such for this quarter is about 142 million.
Okay. So we've spoken about the different areas in which we see growth coming in over the next couple of years. If you could just give a more detailed view on how we'd be ramping up, which sectors would be doing how, and by when we could see, you know, decent growth in the sectors we've been talking about for the last couple of quarters, it would be helpful.
So, Shikha, we expect the growth to come from the third and fourth quarter from the biocatalyst area, as we are talking about. Food will do little better, but not like what we expected because of the pandemic and because of the travel restrictions, whatever we have discussed. The same story is on the animal feed. Even though, like, we are ramping up the process of hiring the people in this quarter into all of these areas in the marketing area. So we are working on it, we will see how this pandemic goes and then how quickly we can just ramp up on the growth button.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Shikha, our R&D spend in Q1 of last year was 22 million, and Q4 it was 43 million.
Okay.
And
34
million in this quarter.
Okay, great.
Yeah?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sheshav Patani from Anvil Share and Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I wanted to know, there is a quite big jump in the other expenses and the employee cost. Is there any particular expenses which has increased during the quarter? Because when you compare it to the same quarter last year, it is almost at 165.8 million compared to 248.82 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first question is why the other expenses are up in this quarter as compared to the last year quarter, right?
Yes.
So, number one, it is because of, SciTech. SciTech, we have acquired in the month of January 21. So, last year in the Q1, there was no expenses of SSPL in our books. So, which is roughly about, a big chunk of about 30 million. And in addition to that, this year, in the first quarter, our operational activities are more than last year, first quarter. Because last year, first quarter was, first time that pandemic has affected everyone very heavily. And after that, a lot of precautions were taken. And then this year, in the first quarter, like we were operationally, we have done better. So our operational expenses, like power and fuel expenses, stores, freight expenses, all these expenses has gone up. So that has contributed in increase in our other expenses of about 83 million. And employee benefit expenses, if you really compare with the Q1 of last year, then it is because of, annual increments, some incentives, and then also the impact of inclusion of SciTech. So the payroll cost of SciTech is also included during this Q1 of FY 22. So that has contributed in, employee benefit expenses going up from 211 to 269 million or so.
There was also one more more contribution. Last year, we have given a salary raise in the month of August, this because of the pandemic which was there, and this year it was from the April. So, for when we compare quarter and quarter, we can see there is a double impact rather than the single impact.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, can you come again on that one?
Yeah, so last year what he's saying, last year the increments were given effective from 1st of August 2020. Okay. This year the increments are given from 1st April. So last year in the first quarter, the increase in salary was not there in payroll cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all from my side. If I have anything, I'll come back in the queue. Thank
yeah,
you.
Please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening, and thank you for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand, in our human health business, we see a constant decline in the run rate if you see from Q3 to Q4 and coming into Q1 of this year. What is the reason for this decline, and how do we see this business picking up going forward?
So, Alisha, we expect the human business will be constant for another quarter or so, and then it should again pick it up.
Sure, but what is the reason for this decline? Is it because...
So it's because if we really look into the pandemic, all the focus is on the pandemic rather than any other enzymes or any other areas. Even people are not working completely. In the pharma companies, they were working in the R&D is 50% or something. And all the focus in the R&D was more towards the pandemic drugs and other things rather than any other areas. So we expect this trend will continue for another one quarter, and then it should really pick it up, one or two quarters.
Okay. And coming to your animal health segment, while you did respond to an earlier participant, is my understanding correct that one of the reasons we see a higher revenue run rate this quarter is because of higher feed prices? and maybe in a couple of quarters when that normalizes, it should go back to its earlier run rate?
It should not go to the earlier run rate, but this just gives us the opportunity to introduce the product where, like, now once the prices are on the higher side of the feed, then people want to try. Otherwise, a lot of people don't want to try, right? So this was the opportunity which we could encash to put up the products in the market, and that has given a good revenue. So we expect that this should continue.
Understood. And so just your comment on the gross margins, I didn't understand. What was the reason for expansion in gross margins?
So we always say that we should really look at our gross margin on a year-to-year basis rather than a quarter-to-quarter basis. It depends on the in the quarter how the product mix was there, which was sold. But on a yearly basis, it should be more or less come to the same on averages. Like last quarter, our margins were lower because of the product mix. This quarter, it has given us a higher margin because of the product mix.
So on full year basis, number closer to 80% would be sustainable?
Rapid, you can say that, but whatever that number is, we always say that our gross margins or the EBITDA will always be there between 40 to 48%, and we believe that that is maintainable.
No, 80% is something that, please don't assume that. It can be anywhere, you know, between 70 to 75.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Sorry, what is your capacity utilization currently?
So it again depends, Alisha, but currently it's about 60%.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amit Ganatra from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So slide number 22, you have provided you know, some data points on is how big is the opportunity. And the addressable market for EKL over next 5 years seems to be around $100 million. Plus there is a probiotic opportunity, obviously. So I just wanted to understand, how do you address this market? So, I mean, are you already addressing part of this opportunity today, or this is completely new for you? It is over and above what you already are, you know, having as a part of your top line, and then I'll follow.
Rakaji, please take this.
Yeah, I mean, this addressable market is somewhere like where we have already, started working on it, and we have a couple of, like, you know, products. So that's the reason we are saying it is something which we can address. So biocatalyst segment in India, this is only our targeted Indian market where we already, you know, have a couple of solutions, and we have a sizable sale numbers in that segment. And baking is like, you know, a area which is mainly now we are targeting in European countries and Americas. So this is what we are saying is addressable because, you know, we have products and we have a kind of, you know, solutions which we will be offering to our customers. And animal nutrition, again, we have several products, and, you know, we are at a different stages of appointing distributors and registering our products in various countries. So this is, you know, target based on, you know, the current, like, you know, our competence and kind of a product portfolio in which we already worked and we are working. And probiotic is, of course, you know, again, a major market, which is, you know, a very big market, and we already launched a couple of products over there.
And can you also, talk about the B2C, initiative that you are now trying to take in India? I mean, what are you exactly trying to do there?
So our presence is there in the U.S. market in the B2C segments, particularly in the human nutraceuticals. We are trying to take the advantage of our knowledge from the U.S., and we are trying to launch these products in the Indian market Now, because of the Cytex, whatever we have acquired, we do have capabilities and capacities to get into the nutraceutical products and also like the innovative, like effervescent technologies. We are trying to launch some of the products which are different, not only in the where like we can use that as a delivery system to put the products in baking areas as well as detergent areas and other areas. So on the B2C platform, we are going with like our own selling our own website, which is like e-platform, as well as some of the products we are trying to bring on the Amazon and other platforms.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Couple of questions. First, in terms of the human nutrition, which is almost two-thirds of our sales, how does that break into different segments, mainly U.S., India, and Europe? And in that human nutrition, we do some B2C product selling via websites as well as e-commerce in the U.S. What is the plan for this year in terms of sales on that front? Essentially, the B2C part or the D2C part of human nutrition and how the geographical mix of human nutrition. That's my first question.
Rauka, can you break the numbers?
I can give the numbers. Yeah, I'll give you the numbers. As far as human nutrition is concerned, 45% of our business has come from India, of the human nutrition I'm talking about, out of which API is roughly 36%, and probiotic is about 3%, biocatalysis is 7%. So this is the breakup of our sales in different segments. International sales is 55%, and out of that, 42% is nutrition sale, and 13% is the probiotic sale. This includes even B2C sales. And now, as far as the numbers going forward, what kind of sale will be there in B2C? Because I think we already spoke many times, Lakshmi Anji, about this particular aspect. Right.
Yes.
Hope these numbers are clear to you as far as human nutrition breakup is concerned.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Now we directly sell in this, right? So what is the where did we close for the last year, and what kind of target we have for this year?
So, Lakshmi Narayan, we closed like B2C segment in the US around 5 million, and Vixar is there. Who can give you the guidance on the B2C sale in US this year?
Lakshmi Narayanji, what?
Yes, sir.
Our B2C sale in the US market is pretty strong at this point in time. There are several areas which are really keeping a keen interest. Everybody wants to be in good health due to conditions which are worldwide right now, as you know it. And second part is there is a new innovative ways we are introducing the market into the product. And we are introducing the product into the market. So we believe that this B2C sale platform will keep on increasing in the US market. And as Mukund already explained to you, we are already trying to introduce these platforms here in Indian market also. Okay. It will be gradual. It is not going to be suddenly out of sight, but it is a very sustainable, long, consistent increase in the marketplace.
Thank you. And in terms of the industrial bioprocessing, there has been a strong strong growth that we see. Seeing the growth in industrial bioprocessing, can you talk about any new enzymes you have actually introduced, or what is leading to such a strong growth in industrial bioprocessing, not only for this quarter, but even if you look at historically, the growth has been very strong in this.
So industrial bioprocessing, we divide it into the two areas. One is like a food and the another one is non-food. So the non-food area was affected, like which compromises detergent and textile. And this area was affected during this pandemic badly, and we had a negative growth. While the food area has a better growth, as we were already talking about, they should pick it up as we move on. And some of the pickup has happened in this quarter. And we expect like whatever like the guidance we are given, we should be able to achieve it in the next 5 years, whatever, in that area.
Got it. And any new enzymes you have introduced in industrial bioprocessing giving you a strong growth?
Always. We are always looking to introduce something new.
Sorry, I didn't catch it.
No, it is always. There is always, we are trying to introduce something new.
So, and in the animal system, around, I think, two-thirds of the business is domestic and one-third will be international, right? How has been the, the journey so far, and how do you look at it in the next couple of years?
Talking about 2 to 3 years. We were talking about this quarter, like our domestic business has again picked up, and it has come to the original level, what it used to be, which was really affected because of the pandemic. On the international front, yes, the growth opportunities are there, but the travel restrictions and other restrictions are still there, and that is where we couldn't do much better on the growth front, and this is the situation. Now, unless until, I'm not in a position to predict how the third quarter or the fourth quarter will happen, or the second quarter will happen in this area, because till the pandemic is there, or the third wave is there or not there, it all depends on this, right? So, but yes, we are working on this area. We are appointing few people into this area. We have already started to expand the marketing in this area right now internationally, so that we can cater to these areas as the situation normalizes.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question from the line of Ashwin Agarwal from Akash Ganga Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, you have highlighted in your press release your plans for inorganic expansion, and also in the past you have successfully integrated 3 acquisitions. So which are the geographies you are looking for a marketing presence, and what could be the size of these acquisitions, if you can give us some indication?
We are continuously looking to expand inorganically in areas which are our prominent interest, which is Asia, Europe, and North America. Did that answer your question?
So what would be the size of the acquisition, sales, or something, if you can give, and by when could you conclude it? You would be doing a few acquisitions this year?
No,
or?
We have no limits to size of acquisition. We are interested, as long as they are compatible in our growth path and innovative companies, and we are looking from small to any size. Financially, it gives us a lot of leverage and a lot of different options to look into any size of the company. There is no limit.
So, are you finding such opportunities available right now within the price band which you are looking at in terms of valuations? Are such opportunities available?
Yes, there is always an opportunity available, provided what price you want to pay, obviously, and it has to fit in our proper our sequence to see that not only price is right, but also it is within our growth path.
So does that mean if we get an opportunity, we will also take on debt to fund the acquisition?
If necessary, yes.
And lastly, can we expect the acquisition to happen this year?
You can expect anything. There's not it's a constant process of looking at it and evaluating. So we do that. Our department, one of our department, constantly looking into those things.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the follow-up. So your tax rate is not at 25%. Is there any plan of moving to that tax regime? Can you explain the reason for a higher tax rate?
Yeah, because of, we have different subsidiaries. So we do have a subsidiary in USA. So US, the tax rate is higher. So because of that, it is not exactly 25.12%, which you are, I think, probably looking at it.
Okay, so it should be in this 27-28% range where it has.
Yeah, right.
Got it. And so just on Evox, we acquired this company more than three and a half years ago. It's still making loss, and I think we had big plans of scaling this and also leveraging their portfolio. While I understand on the leveraging of portfolio, could you explain why is this company still not profitable at operating level also, and how do we see this business scale going forward?
This is R&D company, madam. This is basically a research and development company, basically doing only research as such. And apart from that, what you are saying, it is constantly, not a loss-making company as such. This is the first quarter where we have seen that it's the EBITDA negative. Because of, this Europe has highly affected because of this pandemic. So the activity is very, at a very minuscule level in that sense. So this quarter we have faced this problem. But otherwise, I think Evox is as such, kind of a company which is, in spite of being in research and development, and of late, we are also in a position to some extent leverage our exports to Europe through that company. But yes, because of last 15 months, the situation is being different. As Mukund has already mentioned, many things could not be, we wanted to do a lot of things, and still we could not do because of this pandemic situations. So we are looking into it, that how we make this company, sustainable, and of course, always on yearly basis, as last 2 years you might have seen that it's the EBITDA positive as such. So we are working very aggressive on that front, but in spite because of this COVID situation, much could not be done because of this issue.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up, sir. Just one clarification, if you could provide. I mean, the inclusion of the SSPL revenue, I mean, how much domestic and export sales were there for FSPL, and if any sense we can get on the geographical side, at basically where this FSPL revenue is contributing to our growth.
Okay, so out of 134, 84 million is exports, Rohit, in Q1.
Okay.
And on Q4, the exports were about 41 million out of 79 million of revenue of SciTech.
Okay.
And what is your next question? Sorry.
In geographical terms, I mean, if at all we can get something that where this SSPL contribution is actually reflecting in the numbers.
So it is. I you rightly said it is in different segments in the different geography. I think major is in European countries and followed by rest of world and. I think some kind of, you know, exports are in Asia, ex-India. So I'll give you exact numbers later on.
Yeah.
I'll come back with you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukund Kabra for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. For your questions and participating in our conference. I hope that you all will be safe in this pandemic. Please take care and bye. Thank you again, once again.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for your participation and your questions.
No, it was, thank you for this good question answers and participation in this conference call. We highly appreciate your participation. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf